To me now. You know what this thing does? It keeps you from losing your voice. Keeps you. My wife told me this morning, she said, the only time you're going to rest is when you get to heaven. And she said, you may not rest then. You may do backflips in heaven. I sure hope I'm able to do backflips in heaven. All right, listen to me. I want to share something with you this morning. Two-part question. Don't raise your hand. But I want you to raise your hand now if this pertains to you. First part of the question is, are you saved? Don't raise your hand. Second part of the question, and this is where you raise your hand, are you saved and still mess up? Praise God, we're on the same page. You may put your hand down. If you're lost in here this morning, I don't want to see your hand. Your lost condition has nothing to do with me. I have a burden for you. I pray for you. I plead the blood of Jesus for you. But that's between you and Him. If you was unable to raise your hand by the end of this service, we're going to give you the opportunity to come forth and make a profession of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You that raised your hand, just as your pastor did, saved but still mess up, thank God for the blood. Amen. This morning the Bible says, I want to preach this title, when you have missed the mark. When you have missed the mark. You just didn't hit the mark, but you're still saved. Verse number 1 of chapter number 2, the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the prayers that's already been lifted up. I thank you this morning for the songs that we have sung. I thank you that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Father, I thank you when the roll is called up yonder. Look like this morning there'll be a lot of people there. Whoa, glory. Lord, I thank you this morning, Father, that the goodness of God has set down in this place. I thank you that your goodness has shown all around us this morning. I pray for the next few moments that you illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue, allow me to preach clearly and correctly and do it the right way. Let my opinions flee. Let them get out the door. Father, let me not worry about people's feelings. Let me not worry about how they feel, but let me preach, thus saith the Word of God. Father, I pray this morning that you guard my throat, you guard my thoughts. Let everything said be honored to you. I ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come this morning, that we have missed the mark. Have you ever felt like you missed the mark? You knew where the mark was. You knew exactly where to hit. You knew what to do. You knew where to go. You knew how to handle it, but you just missed the mark. This morning, John wrote down that about missing the mark. John pinned it down about missing the mark. That mark is trying not to sin. That is when you try not to sin. But you know what? I wrote this down. A golfer doesn't always hit a hole in one, but he continues to play. A bowler doesn't always bowl a perfect game, but he always continues to bowl. As a Christian, we sometimes miss the mark, but we must continue traveling on. We must continue traveling on. The issue of missing the mark as a Christian is addressed in this one simple verse this morning. And I want to show you this in this one simple verse this morning of what is being addressed here. If you look at me, number one, and look at what I'm trying to tell you, number one is, he addresses his audience. The audience that he addresses is none other than people that are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He comes here and he says, my little children, I write these things unto you. He didn't write this to the lost man. He didn't write this to nobody, but to the church. And he says this, the audience is the little children. You say, who is in that audience, preacher? I say to you this morning, it is saved people. People that's been saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saying it is people that are sincere about how they feel about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people that believes in the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm talking about people that reads their Bible, that studies the Word of God, that prays daily, and does what what they're supposed to do, but there's just times in their life that they miss the mark, or they come up short, or they don't hit the exact target every time in their life. That's the audience he's talking to. He's talking to people that are saved. He's talking to people that are sincere, but he also is talking to people that are struggling in their Christian walk. If I've ever seen a time that people are struggling in their Christian walk, it is in the day that we live in. It is a struggle to be a Christian, and I know that, but I got good news for you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I get an amen? You say, preacher, how do you know that? We should have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 139 in verse number 23. He said, search me, O God. He didn't tell me to search my wife. He didn't ask the Lord to search his wife. He didn't ask the Lord to search his youth pastor. He didn't ask him to search nobody, but he said, search me, O God. I'm a child of yours, and I want you to search me up one side and down the other. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I see the audience that he's talking to is the little children, those that are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. And you say, preacher, what is he trying to tell them? He's trying to tell them, even though you're a child of God, washed in the blood, there's going to come times in your life that you're going to miss the mark, and that's okay. What do? You get up, dust off, and keep on rocking on. Can I get an amen? Hey, don't let old Satan get you down for one skinny minute. You keep on keeping on. You keep on the firing line. You keep on pressing. You keep on doing what God's called you to do. Hey, daddy's in the room. You keep on marching on. You got children that's watching you. Hey, mamas, you keep on marching on. You got children watching you, mamas and papas. You got grandbabies that's coming up. Hey, they need to see mamas and papas in love with Jesus. And this morning, can I say to you, I see the audience that he's talking to this morning is the little children, those that are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. You say you see the audience he's talking to, but what about the aim that he has? He says, well, you're going to sin. You might as well have a heyday and do all you want to. Oh, no, he don't say that. His audience is the little children, and his aim is this. Look in the same verse. Here's his aim, that ye sin not. Here's the aim that John says here. He said, little children, I write these things unto you. You see his audience, but you also see his aim. He said, that ye sin not. He said, preacher, what I thought the Bible said in Romans chapter number 3, in verse number 23, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. And that is correct. We were all born sinners in need of a Savior. Hey, but when you get saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, that sin's been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Hey, in the book of Psalms, the Bible says that he hides it behind his back, never to be remembered no more. But now we've got a new walk and we've got a new talk, and our aim must be this, that we sin not. We must not have pleasure in sin, but we must have an aim not to sin, not to get caught up in it. And you say, preacher, how do I do that? Number one, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 111, thy word I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Can I say to you, the more you read this book, and the more you get in love with this book, and the more you cherish this word, and the more you put it into your heart, hey, can I say, you'll hit the mark more often than if you don't read the book. The more you stay in the word, you can hit the mark. You say, preacher, will I live a sinless life? Why, Lord, no. All of us is going to sin. But can I say to you, there's some sin that does easily beset us, and you can know not to go that way. I heard Adrian Rogers say, if you look down the barrel of temptation, get ready. Oh, Satan will pull the trigger. If you look down that barrel of temptation, just get ready. Satan will pull the trigger. All you have to do is look, and he'll pull the trigger. He knows who's looking. He knows who's willing. And he's willing to pull that trigger that you get caught up in that sin. But the word I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. You know, we can hide that word, but also we can have a purpose not to sin. As Daniel did in Daniel chapter number 1, in verse number 8, you know what the Bible says? That but Daniel purposed in his heart, hey, before the king ever come, before anybody ever come his way, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile the living God. Hey, this morning we need men and women of God that say, I may slip and I may fall, but I'm going to do my best not to defile the living God. Can I get an amen? I'm going to stand and I'm going to serve and I'm going to shout and I'm going to scream that there's only one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of his prince, of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. I see that if my aim is not to sin, number one, I've got to hide that word in my heart to get to that place, not that I won't sin, but that I might not sin. But that I might not sin. I see I got to hide the word. I see I got to have a purpose not to. I can't do that. Why? Because your wimp, no, my anointing won't let me. You see, there's a difference in not doing it because you don't want to do it. There's a difference in not doing it, Brother Roy, because you're trying not to do it. And there's a totally difference when your anointing just won't let you do it. Because you've been in that book so much, you've read that word, and you've understood the consequences of sin that you try to stay away from it to the best of your ability. But I see not only is I got to hide the word and there's a purpose, but I see my heart's got to be fixed on God. The psalmist said in Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise unto thee. I see this morning in this one small verse that when you've missed the mark or you've missed the target, I see number one, the audience that he called on. I see the aim that he had that we sin not. But I also see where John said, in all actuality, he said, here's my aim, that you sin not. There's nobody in this room enjoys sinning. There's nobody in this room enjoys getting in trouble. There's nobody in this room enjoys getting pulled over by the police. Unless it's Riley Cagle pulling you over. And that don't work all the time. Anytime I see a police on the road, I call him, Riley, is that you? He said, no, that's not me. I know to back it down. But in all actuality, you can be born again. Your aim is can be to not sin. But in all actuality, he says, but if any man sin. His aim is that we not sin. His aim is that we not sin. But in all actuality, he says, but if any man sin. But if any man sin. He said, preacher, what is that? John knows that in all actuality that sin comes and we're going to sin. We're going to do that, but what does sin do? Sin produces failures. Nobody has ever sinned and prospered from it. Sin produces failures. John knows that better than anybody. Anybody, he knows this, that sin produces failures. Have you ever found yourself on the other side and said, man, I can't wait to get back right with God? How do you feel on the other side? I feel like a failure. I feel inadequate until I get lined back up with my Savior. Sin produces failures. Can I say also sin produces faults? You sin, you get caught in it, first thing you want to do is blame somebody else. Anybody that's caught up in sin never wants to take the blame for it right off the front. They want to blame somebody else. They want to go the other way. They want to put the blame on somebody. They don't want to take responsibility for that sin. I see his audience. I see his aim, but I see the actuality. Sin produces failures. Sin produces faults. And can I say for a Christian that's living in sin, it produces frustration. You'll be so frustrated. Nobody can get along with you in all this, and you'll just be so ill and angry and all this, and there's frustration. Do we have homes in here? Don't answer this morning. Do we have homes in here this morning that's frustrated? You have more peace at work than you do when you come home. Oh, me. You have more peace anywhere but at home. Could be sin in the life. Romans 8:34, the Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I see that. I see who he's talking to. I see his audience. I see his aim. As I read the Bible, it says that ye sin not. I see the actuality of it, though. And if any man sin, but I thank God I have an advocate. I see the advocate, Brother J.D. When I read that, it set me on fire. I see the advocate when my tongue gets out there, an old long-lipped tongue, a long, loose tongue, and it gets running out. Loose lips sinks the ship. I know that. Loose lips sinks the ship. You don't believe me, man. It's destroyed a lot of friendships, a lot of families, a lot of marriages. It sinks stuff. See, preacher, what I do when I get caught up in stuff. If you're born again this morning, you got an advocate that you can run to. You got an advocate that you can run to. And you know what an advocate is? That's somebody that's on your side. I don't know if you've ever been to court. If you ain't, praise God. But if you've ever been to court, there's going to be two sides. There's going to be the ones that's defending you, and there's the one that's against you. And when you go and you stand before that one and you've hired your lawyer and he's defending you, he's not doing nothing but defending you, taking your back. But on the other side, that other, he ain't telling anything good you've done. The prosecuting attorney, we got some people missing this morning. Some folks be having a come apart fit right now. They know what I'm talking about. The prosecuting attorney, you know what he does? I've been there, son. I've been there. I know this. You know what he does? He don't see nothing good in you. All he sees is what you've done, and you may have slipped up one time, but you've been a filthy, no good rag all your life. And he'll condemn you right there in front of everybody. You're no good. You're no worthy. You have no worth. You're nothing. You're no good. Just throw him away. Throw the key at him. Get rid of him. He'd be better off if he was dead. That's what the prosecuting attorney says. He's going to bring up nothing good about you. Can I say everybody here has got a prosecuting attorney? And his name's Satan. Don't you ever think, Brother Garrett, he'll brag on you for 1 minute. Not for one skinny minute will he say, Brother Garrett done good. Never. He'll always bring up your bad. Always your past. Always everything you don't want brought up, he'll bring up. But the Bible says, if any man sin. But listen, he's got to be a child and she's got to be a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you don't have an advocate. When you get born again at that moment, you have an advocate that is on your side. Everything that prosecuting attorney is saying, that you've missed the mark, that you've done wrong and you've done bad, everything that he's telling, that is true. It's true. The advocate's standing there. And he's wearing them out, son. Brother BJ, sorry, no good. Yes, but I died for him. Oh, glory. He's got a past that'll make the devil blush. Yes, but I died for him. He's been crooked. He's been everything under the sun. He's been locked up, shouldn't even pastor a church. Yeah, but I died for him. Oh, glory. Yeah, but I died for him. Hey, somebody needs to get excited this morning. You got an advocate that's on your side. And he stands there. And the prosecuting attorney's just throwing everything at me. And the advocate standing there and said, yeah, but I died for him. Yeah, but I died for him. Well, do you know he messed up the other day? Yeah, but I died for that too. Did you know? Yeah, but I died for that too. He said, what does that advocate do, Brother BJ? He advocates for you. Because the blood has been applied. The blood has been applied. I see the audience. I see the aim. I see the actuality that I'm going to mess up. I hate messing up. I hate slipping up talking about somebody. Let me back up right there. I hate slipping up talking about somebody. I hate wronging somebody. I hate doing wrong. Let me meddle 1 minute, okay? I promise I won't meddle real deep. I'll just meddle as deep as he's meddled on me this week. But I do mess up. And I do slip up. And I do things that's not right and pleasing to God. And you know what gets a hold of me? The Holy Ghost of heaven. And he wears me up one side and down the other, and that lets me know that I'm a child of God. I ain't never had another daddy whoop me as a kid. I've had Junior Whitaker want to. He might have talked to us in a bad way. I scare that man. He's a truck driver. Big old burly truck driver. Truck drivers are scary. Y'all know that? They stay gone all week and all they want to do is come home and sleep on the weekends. That scared me to death. David wanted me to come over on weekends. Scared me to death. But I never had another kid's daddy whoop me. Shay Taylor, another daddy whoop your kids. You going to be upset? Come on, tell the truth, son. We in church. You all right? Matt Smith. Somebody jerk Corbin up, whoop fire at him, another daddy. You going to be upset? Tell the truth. You're going to be upset. See, that's why God don't allow nobody else to whoop his kids. Huh? He knows how to whoop them. He whoops them the right way. He whoops them with the Holy Spirit. Wires them out. He said, I'm the one advocating for them. This morning I want to ask you a question. Have you missed the mark and you just feel like a failure? I don't know about you, but I get there sometimes. Let me give you what I'm talking about this morning before we dismiss. Let me just give you what I'm talking about this morning. He says this. He says, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Who is an advocate, Brother BJ? Who is that Jesus you're talking about? He's the one who comforts if you need comfort. See, it's how he does. You feel lonely, he comforts. He's the one who counsels. You don't know what to do in life. You got decisions that need to be made. Listen up here. You got decisions that need to be made. Big decisions going to change your life forever. Go to Jesus with it. Huh? He's the one comforts. There's been time I've been in a room like this, Brother Brent, and felt all alone. There's been times I stood behind this pulpit and all these people and I feel all alone, isolated out all by myself. Like nobody cares. Nobody wants anything to do with you. And nobody wants anything. And then I remember what the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He takes that old big hand. He wraps me up. Because he counsels me. He comforts me. I see also the one who helps. You need help this morning? This advocate will help you. I see he's the one who encourages. You ever been down and out and he come up beside you and encourage you? You ever been down and out and your finances open the mailbox up and it be there? Yep, amen. He said, Lord, if you don't show up, me and you both going to be bad embarrassed if you don't show up. I done put my mouth out there and done bought something I can't really take care of. If you don't show up, we in trouble. He's the one who helps you. You thought your job was the one that helped you? No. He provided that job. He gave you that job. He's the one advocating for you. I'm going to stop right here. He's the one who represents the guilty. Jesus Christ is able to advocate for us to God the Father face to face. You go to court, you don't want to go by yourself. You want to go and you want to have your defending lawyer. You want to have your advocate. And I've learned this in court. Your lawyer will go before the judge before you ever get to. He'll go back and forth and talk, Brother J.D., face to face. Won't be a conference call, won't be none of that. They're face to face. They go back and forth talking one with another. This morning, can I say to you, Jesus is the only one that can go face to face to the Father. You say, I thought I could, only through the blood of Jesus. You can't enter the Holy of Holies without Jesus Christ into your life. Hebrews 7:25, Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. He ain't never halfway saved nobody. He ain't never almost saved nobody. He ain't never saved nobody two times. When he does the saving gets done. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. Jude 1:24, the Bible says, now unto him, who? Jesus, is able to keep you from falling. You may feel like a failure, but you ain't fail. Satan is letting you know where he's at. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 1:24. We have all missed the mark from time to time, but we must keep traveling on for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want you to be honest. You sitting here this morning, you didn't got up and got ready and came. You might as well be honest. Amen? Might as well just be honest with it. You're already here. There's times we feel like failures. When you feel frustrated and you feel like a failure, you can't witness and be what you need to be for Christ Jesus. If you go back to chapter number 1 and you read through there 7 and 9, going down through there, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, I've asked God to forgive me when I got saved. Well, you're most been miserable if that's the only time you've ever asked for forgiveness. I've learned something in my life. I had learned the hard way, Brother J.D. On a daily basis, I have to ask forgiveness. On a daily basis. I'm going to say this, that as a Christian in this room this morning, we all got something to ask forgiveness for. Our attitude, our actions, even if we knowed it or we did not know it, we got something to ask forgiveness for. But listen here, if you've never been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, I'm going to be standing here with my Bible. I wouldn't show you no other way. I wouldn't lead you no other way without a Bible. I wouldn't want a preacher leading me any other way without a Bible in front of me. I wouldn't want to see the Word. You know what? The Word cannot lie. And I'd want that thing laid out before me, and I want him to show me that if I call on the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. Yesterday, me and Brandy had the opportunity to go somewhere, up 2 hours. And we're standing out there, and it's drizzling rain a little bit, and there's a porta-potties. And the porta-potties lined up. And before we went in, she said, "If you got to use the bathroom, use it." I'm 45-year-old, son. And she had, "Come on, somebody, talk to me. Act like your wives don't do you that way." She told Kaylee, right? I told her, "If you got to use the bathroom, you better use it." All they got in there is porta potties. She looked at me and said, "You got to use the bathroom?" I said, "No, I'm good. I'm just like the kids, you know what I'm saying?" I'm like, "Okay." I got down there and I got set and I got squirming. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go. I got to go now." She said, "You want me to go wee?" I said, "Yeah, you might as well go, because you're probably going to have to, too." You see, you said, "What do you mean, preacher?" That's how it works. You don't think you got to go. You don't think, you don't. You said, "That is a stupid illustration." You got it. You don't think you got to go. You don't think you've got a problem if somebody asks you. If somebody points it out in your face that we all sin and we all need a Savior. And if you're already saved, you just need to be in better fellowship with that Savior. Wrapped up on Him. I'm talking about loving on Him, letting Him love on you. We walked up there to them porta potties. There's probably 10 of them. I don't know how long they've been used, but they'd been abused. And I stand outside that porta potty, and I say, "She fixed to rail me for this one, son." I'm standing at that porta potty, just like you hear Brother J.D. in line, waiting my turn. And this boy, the one I'm lined up in front of, y'all know how to use him, don't you? You don't just stand back and see what comes open. Find you a door, get there, stand there, and wait on it. I stood at that door, Brother Roy, and that door slung open, and this boy come out, and I'm just standing there, and he walks. I mean, he beelining, son. I'm thought he fixed to tell me it stopped up or something. He beelines me right to my face, and I'm just standing there, and he said, "Do I know you?" I said, I don't know if you do or not. I don't really know. He said, "Yeah, I know you." I said, "Well, I'm a preacher, and I preach at Broken Lives in Nettleton, Mississippi." He said, "I got out of there Monday." He said, "That's where you're from. That's where I knowed you from." I said, "Preacher, what does that got to do anything with this message?" When she asked me to have to go to the bathroom, I might have missed the mark then. But the line up where God would have me to be to witness to that man and tell and encourage him and tell him to keep following Jesus, keep rocking on, stick. You said, "You've done that in front of the porta potties." I guarantee you I did. Life's nasty. Life ain't clean. It ain't a bed of roses, son. Hey, this life we live is dangerous and it's dirty. Son, we got talking about Jesus there, Brother Riley. We had a heyday standing there. You hear me? I turned around and told my wife, I said, "Perfect time at the perfect place." She said, "What do you mean, preacher?" This morning somebody might know they got something going on in their life right now. And you've been called out. And you said, when you come in, you thought all was good. But now you've been called out. And you got to go. Where do you go? To Jesus. And you never know, when you go and stand where you need to stand, repenting, getting things right with God, when you leave this place, what He might line up out yonder. You got family problems and you're in halt. You ain't right with God. Listen to me. You got family problems. I got family problems. And I want to call myself right with God. I ain't right with God. The Bible says if I got hatred in my heart, if I hate my brother, I ain't right with God. Why? Because we all mess up. We all need forgiveness. And we all need the love of Jesus Christ shining in our hearts. This morning, if you missed the mark, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar here in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to get in that altar and say, "Lord God, line me up. Put me back where I need to be. Put me back where I need to be." If you're here this morning and you're born again, you're part of that audience. Your aim is not to sin, but in all actuality, we do sin. But we got an advocate in this with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you used so many silly things in my life to show me your hand and how big it is. Even a porta potty, what people think is crazy. How you can put people in our way to witness, Father. Lord, I pray this morning for that one right now that's life is dirty and it stinks. And they're saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. But right now, it just don't line up and it stinks. Father, I pray they get back in right fellowship with you this morning. Father, I pray they get lined back up with you. Father, they've been asked, they may have been people asking them all the time, do you need to go to church? Do you need to go to, what do you need? And Lord, the whole time they've been saying they don't need nothing. But in all, they just need you. Lord, line it back up this morning. Line up where we need to be. Let this church be in unity, Father, in one accord. Father, I believe when we get in unity right where we need to be with you, mountains will be moved. Father, we can't have division outside this place and expect to have unity inside this place. Lord, if we're divided out there, we'll be divided in here. Lord, we got to have the same talk out there as we have in here. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I ask it in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.